Hello, everyone, and welcome to God Calling Vocation Vibes, Conversations with the Little Sisters of the Poor. We're so happy that you've joined us. My name is Sister Carolyn, and my religious congregation, Little Sisters of the Poor, is an international congregation of women religious serving on all the continent. Our special mission in the church and the special love of our hearts is service of the elderly poor. We care for and serve Jesus himself in their person. And I have a very special guest with me today, and this is Father Anthony. Father, would you kindly introduce yourself, your role?
Sure. Thank you for having me, Sister. I'm Father Anthony Federico. I'm the Vocations Director of the Archdiocese of Hartford. I'm a priest of the Archdiocese of Hartford, and I'm very happy to be here with you today on your show.
Thank you, Father, for joining us. So, the title of today's episode, which is episode 2, is The Bold Ask. And you know, Father, when you learn how to do fundraising, you apply for grants, you write for a foundation gift, they tell you to always do the bold ask. You do the ask. They have a lot of resources. You have a lot of need. No time to be timid. So in our day, in the world with its many needs, in the church with its many needs, this is no time to be timid. So it's really time for the bold ask when it comes to vocations. To enter with our Lord into the service of his people. So would you comment a little bit about your thoughts on the bold ask for vocations?
I'm so glad, Sister, to talk about boldness. This is exactly what I'm really trying to lead in my ministry as the Vocations Director of the Archdiocese. I'm going all over the state of Connecticut to all of our churches in the Archdiocese and asking people to dream bigger, to think bigger, to be bolder before God. So what we're doing in the Archdiocese of Hartford is we're boldly begging the Lord for 1,000 new priests, 1,000 new religious sisters, 1,000 new deacons, and 1,000 new Catholic marriages. We're looking for total renewal, total revival in the church. We believe that the Lord has not abandoned his church and that he has so much more to give us. And so when I tell people in my role as Vocations Director that I'm begging the Lord for 1,000 new priests, some people have said, don't you think that's a little bit greedy? Or that doesn't seem realistic. And I tell them, friends, we don't serve a God who's into what's realistic. You know, and I often mention when we think of Jesus, his first miracle, the wedding at Cana, the Lord over-provided. They were at the last day of the wedding feast. They just needed a few more glasses of wine to complete the wedding feast. But the Lord Jesus filled 6 stone water jars, each holding 20 to 30 gallons. That's 180 gallons of wine. That's 900 bottles of wine. Our Lord is overabundant, super abundant. You know, I love in Philippians when we read, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. What is the standard for God supplying our needs as the church today? It's according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. The Lord is rich, the Lord is generous, the Lord is faithful. The Lord is pleased with our boldness in prayer. When we pray boldly like that, over asking and assuming he'll do more than we want or expect, we're confirming that we believe who God really is, which is a generous Father, not a miserly, stingy dispenser of blessings, but a really lavish, generous, abundant Father. So that's why I'm going around encouraging people to be more bold in their prayer.
Well, we do know that the Lord can do more than we even ask or imagine. St. Paul tells us that. But I think your boldness in asking the Lord goes back a ways. And I remember seeing in a publication a picture of you on the sidewalk under an open-air tent in New Haven in front of your church with a sign that said, Catholic priest available. You had a Bible, you talked to people, you heard confession, whatever. Please tell us about that bold effort.
Yeah, this Sidewalk Street Evangelization Ministry at Blessed Michael McGivney Parish in downtown New Haven. The sidewalk in front of that church, St. Mary's Church, where Blessed Michael McGivney's remains are, where his tomb is, that sidewalk in front of the church is mission territory. There's people from all walks of life, all stages and phases of life, walking the streets of downtown New Haven. And what we've heard from Archbishop Blair so many times here in our own archdiocese is that we as Christians must disrupt the decline, not manage the decline. I love that phrase. We're called to disrupt the decline of the church, not manage it. So one of the ways that I wanted to disrupt the decline was getting out of the church and planting myself on the sidewalk there with, as you said, the signage, Catholic priest at your service, need prayers, just ask, you know, priest available, and go out from the church towards the people. And like you mentioned, there was a lot of success, some failures, but a lot of movement of the Holy Spirit on the sidewalk in front of St. Mary's.
And so you've brought that same boldness into your new mission as vocation minister for the Archdiocese, which is so awesome. And I want you to know that since we serve the elderly poor, you have a powerhouse of prayer backing you up, because these elderly prayer warriors are very Amen. Experienced. And when a 100-year-old prays to the Lord, you know he sits up and listens.
Amen.
So they are really in your court. And our own mother founder, St. Jean Jugon, was a very confident in divine providence. She had nothing when she started out, but her heart was moved. She saw the need, and she picked up these poor elderly people from the street. She brought the first one home, placed her in her own bed, and from there, the work grew. Young women saw what she was doing. Other old people came and knocked, and soon other women were joining her in the work and said, "This is so beautiful, we want to be part of it." And then it spread to all the continents very, very quickly. All because she had confidence in God,
Amen.
Not because she had the money or the education or whatever it took, but she had confidence in God,
Amen.
And He is all powerful.
Amen.
Yes. So what are some of the signs of hope you see for vocations?
Well, the first thing that I see, Sister, is the prayer for priestly vocations that we're saying together as an archdiocese. Every church, every parish in the archdiocese is saying the same prayer at the end of every Mass, asking the Lord to send us more priests. Of course, we're boldly begging the Lord for all the vocations of the church, but in a particular way, the church really needs new priests. So the churches are saying this prayer together, united in obedience to our Archbishop. And since we've started praying the prayer for priestly vocations, 38 young men have called the vocations office to begin discerning a vocation to the priesthood.
Amazing.
It's incredible, Sister. Those sorts of numbers just don't exist in vocations world. So we give thanks to God. He's hearing our prayers and He's answering them generously.
Praise God. Praise God. I too see just so much hope, many signs of hope when I go to the SEEK conference.
Yes.
The Fellowship of Catholic University Students puts on an amazing conference where thousands of young people come from all around the country and beyond to praise Jesus and to grow in their love for Him, their relationship with Him, to discern their future in His church. And it is just very encouraging, very uplifting. And I've also been blessed to be able to talk at vocation events, at college retreats and so forth, and I look at in the eyes of the young people, and I see so much sincerity. You can see they just love the Lord. They're not sure what He wants them to do, and they're a little bit afraid, but they're so sincere, and it, to me, that's really a sign of hope.
I love what you just said about not sure of what God wants me to do, but willing to do it. Sister, one of the things that I say to a lot of young people at high schools, colleges, young adult groups, and when I speak about vocations is, don't start by asking the Lord, what should I do? Instead, ask, am I willing to say yes to whatever the Lord is calling me to do? When we start with that disposition of yes, without knowing what the full picture holds, not knowing where the map will play out, that's where the Lord can really start to work in our lives. He needs that yes, first of all, which is why, Sister, I love your logo. So the God Calling Vocation Vibes logo, I love it, because we have the phone here, it's ringing, it's God calling, and there are two options. There's the big green accept button and the big red decline button, and they're equal size and they're both available. And to me, that image speaks so much of the free will that God has endowed us with. And so with our young men who are discerning the priesthood, the first thing we talk about in our very first meeting is, my brother, you are free. This way of life, the priesthood, is a total gift of self. Similar, very similar, of course, to your way of life, Sister. A total gift of self as a religious sister. We make this complete yes to God. But we are also free to say no as human beings. When you and I were both discerning our vocations, we probably did say no for a period of time. I know I did in my own story. But all the young men, I stress to them, brother, you are free. So if you want to make this gift of yourself, I can help you discern that. But please don't feel like you have to like do something that you're not called to or that you wouldn't enjoy out of some misguided sense of serving the church. The only thing we have to get to is that yes. Am I willing to say yes to whatever God is calling me to? Am I willing to press the green button, not the red button?
I think that's a very good point, because people think if I contact priest or sister, or if I go visit the seminary or the convent, it's like I have to sign on the dotted line.
No.
But no. All you're doing is you're answering the call. You're just giving the Lord a chance to say what he wants to say to your heart. And, you know, I heard a sister say one time about how sometimes in discernment, we can have Jesus on one knee before us with proposing to us, and we say, well, let me get back to you on that, Lord. You know, let me get back. Let me give some thought. I'll get back to you. No. Take the call and listen to what he wants to say to your heart.
I love that image, sister. And it reminds me of an expression that I would have in my work as a vocations director. Sometimes we have the eternal discerner or the perpetual discerner.
Yes.
It's a young
yes.
man who feels a call, but he comes to that place of decision and he just needs a little bit more time, and that little bit more time turns into 1 year or two or 10. So at a certain point, friends, what I will often say to my young guys in discernment is, the Lord will bring you to a place of clarity. He will not often bring you to a place of certainty. He brings us to a place of clarity where we have a reasonable assurance that I'm called to take the next step and enter the seminary. But after that, I have to take a leap of faith. I have to take some risk. There has to be an element of adventure involved in discerning these vocations. So if we're going to wait till the day we have absolute perfect certainty about what God wants from us, we're going to be waiting a long time. And sister, isn't that true for religious life and the vocation to marriage as well?
It is. There are perpetual discerners. And I often think to myself, they don't know what they're missing out on by not just saying yes. And, our God is so unpredictable, has such a wild, wonderful imagination.
Yes.
And he is imagining us as what he envisions the most beautiful version of ourselves can be, the happiest version. And so we have to give that a chance. I love the story of a young priest that I met one time at a vocation event, and he had discerned and thought he had discerned marriage. And he told us his vocation story, and he said the night he was going to propose to his girlfriend, he was going to go over to her house, and she was going to have candlelight dinner cooked, and he had the ring in his back pocket, and it was very romantic. And he got down on one knee, and he reached for the ring, and he said, honey, I think God's calling me to be a priest. And he put the ring back in his pocket. So, I mean,
that poor girl.
I know. But, you know, she's probably found that wonderful, awesome happiness
praise
that
God
had for her, too. And we all think, oh, the poor girl, you know. But that young man wanted God's will, had thought he had discerned thoroughly, but God still had a say in it. And he knew in his heart that as wonderful as the sacrament of marriage is, as wonderful as this young woman was, as happy as he might have been, there was something even more. Mm. And it was his vocation God was calling him to. So the Holy Spirit just took his hand with
that,
the ring.
Sister.
And he's been a very happy priest, inspiring people.
I love the word that you said at the end there, more. Our God is a God of more. And so many people are so satisfied with perhaps worldly things or worldly success or the little pleasures that the world can offer, when God holds out so much more joy, more peace, more depth of our human lives to those who would serve him in this sort of bold, risk-taking way. So I want to serve the God of more. I don't ever want to be satisfied with what this world can offer. So I'm so grateful you said that.
Yes. And when I was discerning my vocation, I hear a lot of sisters say, I was really happy, but there was something missing.
Yes.
There was something more. But I never felt that way. I thought life was great. Mm-hmm. I was very happy. I had everything I wanted. And I never knew there was more until I tripped into the revelation of my vocation.
Mm.
And then I discovered, wow, there's so much more. You know, I have all of this that I love, but I have my God. I have my God. And I was losing nothing. I was gaining everything, and there was so much more. But I just didn't even realize it. So we got to hit the green button and listen. Let God let God reveal to us the beauty he wants to show us.
And sister, doesn't your story refute the world's narrative that serving God with my whole life is boring, it's unexciting, what am I going to do all day, I'll be so unfulfilled? No, instead, when we say yes to God with our whole lives, to whatever our vocation might be, to the religious life, to the priesthood, to the diaconate, to marriage, to the generous single life, whatever, when we say yes to God's plan for us, we enter into a whole new world of possibilities that we never could imagine existed before. It's a lie that serving God is boring or that it's going to leave us unfulfilled. But it is true that it will take us places that are outside of our comfort zone. And what I think most prevents most people from discerning their vocation well is fear.
Yes.
Fear of the unknown, fear of the God who takes risks, the fear of the boldness that God asks of us, and most of all, fear that I won't be in control of my life. And that is a very real place to be. And that's an honest place to be. So I commend people who can name that fear and say, yeah, God might be calling me to the religious life or the priesthood, but I'm afraid because I don't know what that's going to ask of me. That's a very reasonable place to be.
Does a young couple getting married know what's going to be asked
exactly
of them? But I knew a young, or know a young little sister of the poor who was, she loved community life, loved our prayer life, loved the apostolate, loved the elderly poor whom we serve, loved everything about it.
But
she was afraid, she just was afraid of obedience and thinking she wouldn't be free, that she couldn't just grab the car keys and go hop in the car anytime she wanted and do what she wanted and go where she wanted. And she finally got the grace. When she got the grace, she called me up. She said, Sister Carolyn, I never felt so free in my life
wow.
as I do right now. And so her life is one big adventure. And, you know, she used to, like, call her brother and say, I'll meet you down in South America.
Yeah.
But now her life was going to be an adventure that God was planning, and only God knew the next step, and she was going to have all of this adventure that she thought she was giving up, and so she never felt freer.
So in saying a total yes to God and giving her own freedom and will over to her legitimate superiors, she felt more free than when she was in the world and free to go wherever she wanted, to South America or to take the car wherever she wanted. So worldly freedom didn't satisfy her the way that true freedom, which is submission to God, satisfied
true.
Her.
And this is, it doesn't make sense in the mind of the world.
No.
But when you read the gospel, it makes sense. And when you experience it, it truly makes sense.
Whoever saves his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. See, that's just the opposite of what the world says to us, which is to accumulate as much as you can, you know, become the best version of yourself and just, you know, as many pleasures and contentments and trips and status as you can muster. That'll be the way of happiness. But in the gospel, it's the little way, the way of crucifying the ego, the way that eventually leads to the death of the ego, which is then transformed in this resurrected state into the new life that Christ gives us. So it's, like you said, the opposite of the world's vision.
Yes, yes. And in our Little Sisters of the Poor apostolate of serving the elderly poor, one of the things I love the most about this vocation is we kind of have a foot in both worlds because we accompany these dear elderly people through the joyous final years of their lives and into the joy of eternity. So we see the whole Paschal mystery unfolding right before our eyes. And I think to myself, even having been in the religious life for a long time, what a privilege this is. How blessed I am to have been called.
Now, friends, I had the opportunity to visit the Little Sisters of the Poor at Enfield today, and I got to watch them minister to Christ in the person of their beloved elderly poor. And the old expression is so true. The Little Sisters of the Poor work in heaven's waiting room, heaven's
true.
Vestibule. You are able to bring people in whom the world has probably not cared for or discarded, or people are not able to care for, and you have shown them such intentional dignity, honoring their humanity, honoring the person of Christ in them, and then you care for them in a way that the world would often see as hard to watch, tough to look at, difficult to stomach. You get involved in the very real and sometimes very painful issues that come with a soul that's not able to take care of themselves like they once were, and you walk that soul into eternity.
Yes.
It's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen.
Yes. Well, when we care for them, you know, when a person is on the sick bed, you know that's Jesus, the suffering body of Christ on the altar. And then when they're approaching heaven, we stay with them night and day. We take turns. We hold their hand. We pray with them. Just love them. And then confide them to the Father's arms. So I think, how awesome is that? How much more beautiful and profound could it be?
Now, sister, what would you say to a young woman watching this right now who thinks, giving my whole life to God, living with other religious sisters, and caring for elderly people all day, that's boring, or that's kind of ick? What would you say, sister? Are you fulfilled in your life?
Oh, my goodness. Beyond what I would ever have imagined. So I would say, come and see.
Give God a chance.
Give God a chance. Hit the green button. Nice. Come and see. Hear what he has to say to you. No one's going to lock the door behind you.
Right.
But come.
Because
and
you are free, right?
You're free. But come and let yourself experience the joy and the beauty.
I would love that.
This
That's
is
great.
Profound. This is profound.
Now, sister, I have another question for you, if you don't mind.
Yes.
Now, we might be familiar that most religious sisters take three promises, three vows with their total commitment: poverty, chastity, and obedience. But today I learned that the Little Sisters of the Poor take a fourth vow. Can you tell me about that?
Yes, our fourth vow is hospitality, and hopefully one experiences it when you first walk in the door. There's that spirit of hospitality. But really, the vow itself is hospitality toward Jesus in the person of his elderly poor. So we truly welcome him. He says, what you do for the least of my brothers, you did for me. He doesn't say it's like as if you were doing it for me. He says, you are doing it for me. So our vow of hospitality is serving him in the elderly poor. And then that spirit of welcome overflows. I think if young women and men come to visit us, to engage in service with the elderly, to help us out in our ministry, they'll experience that spirit of hospitality. And it's a very beautiful thing where everybody is accepted. Jean Chugan had a charism of simplicity and humility, joy and humble service. So we're not doing something that the world holds in high esteem. You know, the world tells you need to climb the corporate ladder, you need to make a name for yourself. None of those things are what really makes people happy. And this little humble work, this vow of hospitality lived out in the everyday, but no 2 days are alike, never boring, never monotonous, but lived out in great beauty every day, this vow of hospitality animates our whole life and our spirit and our way of being with people.
Just spending the day in the presence of you and your sisters and watching you minister to Jesus in the person of the beloved elderly poor, I felt closer to God just being in your presence today. I can't imagine what it would be like for a young person, a young adult, to put their phone down for one day and to come to Enfield to volunteer, to watch you minister, to participate in whatever way they feel comfortable, with food service or just even a smile or a kind word, and to start to live into this great, fulfilling joy and freedom that's available to them when we give of ourselves. I'm so excited for whatever young person's watching or listening to this right now, and they're gonna call you, and their life is gonna be changed because hearing this conversation on God's calling.
Yes, and if you do wanna reach me to find out more or to come and volunteer and serve, to have me, us little sisters, accompany you in your vocation journey, it's lspusapodcast@gmail.com. So lspusapodcast@gmail.com. And you, Father, your contact information for a young man?
Yeah. If you are thinking about the priesthood, do not do what I did, which was say no to God for 14 years, thinking that I would find all this happiness and success and fame in the world, and that would make all the deep longings of my heart go away. Don't do that, brothers. Instead, go to hartfordpriest.com, hartfordpriest.com, and schedule your first appointment with me. I'm Father Anthony, the vocations director. I have no agenda for these young men's lives. I'm not here to steer them in one direction or another. I'm here to help them discern what God is calling them to so they can make a generous yes to that, whatever that might be. So the first and probably the most courageous step is to go to hartfordpriest.com and reach out to make the first invitation, and the Lord will do the rest.
And always to remember that your vocation, be it priesthood, religious life, or whatever your vocation might be, is never something that's going to limit you. Because yes, we make options in life, but you are going to have an opportunity to interact with and make an impact on people far beyond what you think. Even in our community, we operate homes for the elderly poor, but we interact with so many people on the outside. We touch so many people on the outside. I had one homeless lady that I took in one time, or that we took in, and her long-lost son found her over Mother's Day and came to visit her. And he said, you know, I still don't love my mother. I could never forgive her for the past, but I felt it was my obligation to try to find her. And I thank you for letting me stay here in the home for these 3 days. And he said, Sister, I have to tell you, I came here as an atheist. Now I'm not so sure.
Wow.
So yes, we serve Jesus in the elderly poor, but the witness touches so many people, as does the witness of a holy priestly life.
Praise God. In my life as a priest, I can experience in 1 week the full spectrum of human emotions that the average person might experience in a lifetime. Because I'm with people in the darkest moments of their lives, suffering, death, tragedy, sickness. And I'm with people in the most joyful moments of their lives, birth, weddings, new life, and every average, ordinary moment in between. So my life as a priest is filled with adventure. And like you said, no 2 days are the same.
So Father, we would encourage a young man or woman who is discerning, or who's even interested in picking up, to visit. And in addition to visiting, what are some of the things that could help prepare their heart to hear whatever it is that God says to them?
The first thing is to stop worrying. Our young people are consumed with worry, with anxiety, and with this desperate need to control where my life is going to go. And if there's this awful perfectionism, which so many of our young people suffer from, if this doesn't work out perfectly, then everything else in life is going to be off course. And so my first step for my young friends is to just take a deep breath and let God be God. Let God be the Lord of the mess of your life. He's the Lord of the mess. He's actively and intimately involved in every detail. So step number one is we just refuse to be mastered by worry. Step number two is, if we need to go to confession, let's get ourselves into a state of grace. We're gonna start living the Christian life in a state of grace. And that, from there, sister, every other grace will begin to flow. Then we'll start talking about putting a regular prayer life together, daily prayer, intimate prayer with the Lord, conversational prayer, not just memorizing Our Fathers and Hail Marys and saying them in a sort of mechanical way, but getting into a real intimacy, a silence with Jesus. Because the Lord Jesus, He does not shout, He whispers. And so with that daily prayerful silence, we'll begin to discern the whisper, because He's calling each of us to something. Every single human being has a role to play in the kingdom of God. All of us are needed in these different vocations. No one is left out. Everyone is needed for sanctity and holiness. And so then the last thing I would say is, once we start discerning, perhaps a young lady with you, perhaps a young man with me, and we get to that place of clarity, I'm reasonably certain that the Lord is calling me to this. The church has discerned with me. The church has said, yes, we're pretty sure. The young man or the young woman has said, yes. Then the last step, my brother or sister, is to take a risk. You know, there's an old expression, the safest place for a ship is in the harbor, but that's not where it was meant to be. We have to set out into the deep. We have to have a spirit of adventure, like St. Jean Jugan. The Lord will provide for me, and I'm gonna take a bold risk. I'm gonna step out of my comfort zone. I'm gonna take this leap of faith, because the Lord will eventually put me where He needs to be. And it might be messy, it might be uncomfortable, but the more that we trust in God's providence, the more glorious things we'll see for the kingdom of God.
Thank you, Father. So that's a lot to think about. Yeah. I would encourage young people, as Father said, strengthen your sacramental life, get a spiritual director, engage in Eucharistic adoration.
Amen.
There is nothing like being in silence before our Eucharistic Lord. And get a taste for service. Get a taste for being in the apostolate, for pouring yourself out for others. And so we hope that you've enjoyed being with us today, and we would encourage you to subscribe to our podcast, to God Calling Vocation Vibes, and we look forward to having you for future episodes. Again, if you're interested in finding out more about the Little Sisters of the Poor or in learning from me resources for other sisterhoods of religious, I would be glad to walk with you to help you, to let you know about resources. And my email address is lspusapodcast@gmail.com, lspusapodcast@gmail.com. And Father?
You can reach me at hartfordpriest.com.
So thank you once again. We've talked about the bold ask. God makes a bold ask, but the discerners need to make the bold ask that Father Anthony talked about, which is, am I willing to do whatever it is God wants?
Amen.
So that's the bold question that they need to ask in response to God's bold ask to them. And so the question remains, who will pick up, who will be bold and courageous? And say, yes, Lord, here I am.
Amen.